This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. It is BFM 89.9. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
And in the studio tonight to help ease your Monday blues, it's another comedian. Say your name, sir.
Sulaiman Azmil.
There we go. You sounded very impressive, right?
Very. Can you do that again?
Yeah, that's that deep voice.
Sulaiman Azmil.
David?
So you go up when you say your last name, Azmil.
You try it. What about your voice?
David Raphael Bury.
See, that kind of works.
Yeah.
It kind of works.
I like it. Yeah.
We'll be asking him a whole bunch of questions about why he got into comedy, what he thinks is funny, and his tie-up with Harith Iskander a little bit later on as well. We'll talk about that. Also, we have a giveaway this evening, as per usual. 016-201-9000 is the number to remember. Ding,
yes,
ding. If you
want
to win some free pizza, here's a competition.
Domino's Pizza.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Do you know the number?
It's Monday already.
1-300-888-333. Come on.
Here's a ding for you. Alright, so if you want to win vouchers, personal pizza vouchers, all thanks to
personal.
Personal.
Okay. Just checking.
Stop it, Richard.
Alright.
So if you want to win personal pizza, all thanks to Domino's Pizza, here's the question. That's Pizza Expo held once a year in the US. Now, where is it held? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to send us. Why deserve to win as well?
Where was your ding? Ah, there you go. So Sulaiman.
Yes, sir.
Comedy, then. It's a delicate beast. It's an interesting beast. Why did you get into comedy originally? Now, according to our stalker sheet, which our intern supplied for, it's about you making a wrong turn somewhere and you end. We know that's not true. What really happened?
Well, if I did make a wrong turn, that's pretty bad because I am a PJ boy. Although that reference I know is in Sriya Tamas. But what is true is that I did, the first time right. I intentionally tried to make people laugh was on the show called Comedy Cow Cow.
Right.
And that's hosted by Dr. Jason Leong.
Oh, that fella.
That fella, yeah.
Right.
The short one.
Do you know
right.
he got 14 points, right, on Smarty Pants?
Oh,
so you need
I
to
see.
Beat that
so that's sort of
points.
Like a yardstick for everyone else.
You could call it that, yeah.
Okay. Jason, if you're listening to this, I'll do my best. So the first time I was on a stand-up comedy show, it was on Comedy Cow Cow, that's at the B,
right.
Publica, and that happened in January of 2013. There's an interesting story about that as well, known among those of us in the circle. Typically when someone is trying it out for the first time, he or she will be given 3 minutes, maybe five.
Right.
And apparently what happened was that I was on stage for at least 15.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Now, I'm not particularly proud of that because, it's a big thing about keeping to time and things like that. I am happy to say that I'm a lot more disciplined now. And, it's a very important thing.
Why were you on stage for 15 minutes? Were you just that funny? People didn't want to stop you?
Oh, you just didn't know the time that you ran out all the way for 15 minutes?
I would like to think that is the first, but that's not for me to say. That's not for me to say. Maybe Jason will be able to give a more objective viewpoint on that question.
Right. But, obviously, you were on stage 15 minutes. How did it go? I mean, it was your first time, right?
Mm.
Were you nervous at all? And, what was your content about?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure whether I can remember everything. But, one thing that's a thing that I occasionally would refer to when I'm on stage is, my name is Sulaiman Azmil. It's a very Malay name.
Mm.
But people have said that when they look at me, how I look doesn't seem to gel with my name.
Right.
And so that's something there already.
Yeah.
People have asked me whether I consciously do lawyer jokes. I don't.
Because you are, of course, a lawyer as well.
Yeah.
If people don't already know.
Yeah. But if there's something funny that relates to something that I've experienced, as a lawyer, yeah. Then
surely right now, Malaysia must be a gold mine of material for you.
Gold mine is the right word.
Right, yeah. You see? Yeah. But obviously, you're going to have to be very careful about the jokes that you kind of use.
Mm.
How careful do you have to be nowadays when you're talking about certain topics? Can you even talk about certain topics? And you know what I'm referring to, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
purposely used the word nudge.
I did.
Because of...
I may have
the letter that
possibly, but don't we can't make any assumptions,
of course.
But
Well, I think it depends on the place where you're doing it.
Right.
Whether you're doing it live on a, you know, stand-up comedy show, or whether you're doing it for TV, or I mean, say if it's done in a podcast situation, I think you get, or shall I say, you probably have to be concerned with less parameters. Maybe that's the way to say it. If you're performing live,
right?
I think when it comes to say TV or radio, you have to abide by the rules of the governing authority.
Being a lawyer, do you abide by the rules like wholeheartedly, considering, you know, you practice it and everything? Like, you look at the rules and you're like, okay, if these are the rules, then we'll just go with it. Or do you kind of like in your heart go,
interesting point. I think everyone has their own ideas about what's fine, you know, how far to push the to go past the boundary, or to be on the other side or on this side of an imaginary line, as it were.
Right.
There are things that so far, at least, I don't do, but I'm not necessarily going to say that, yeah, if you're someone doing stand-up comedy, you should necessarily follow the same rules. I mean, for example, I don't think I do jokes that's related to religion, but if it's something that's related to how someone practices the thing.
Right.
I'll give an example, and I think it's fairly safe. Take the fasting month. We just had a fasting month. And nowadays, you know, people go to hotels and so on, and you're faced with 150 dishes for buka puasa, as though that's what buka puasa is. You know, like feasting after fasting.
Right.
But truly, that goes against the spirit of Ramadan. You know, I would make a reference. I have, in fact, on stage actually said something to the effect that, you know, Ramadan is not the time for gluttony, it's a time for moderation. And then build a joke on the basis of that premise.
But it seems like a criticism towards a certain type of audience, wouldn't you say, if you say something like that? I mean, would they not be offended if they were to hear something like that?
But I mean, I think the people who come to see you, I mean, people are, you know, they would accept, you know, what comedians would actually come out with, right?
I think if you're someone who's coming to watch a comedy show, you have to come with a certain mindset. I mean, you have to be open about stuff that's going to happen, the things that you're going to hear. And if you're sitting on the front row,
of course,
you might get involved in some interaction with the performer concerned.
Audience participation.
That's all part of the show.
Yeah.
Folks, stick around. We've got some music coming up. We'll be heading into news from page 2 just after these messages. BFM 89.9, the business station. A little bit of the Manic Street Preachers and Nina Persson. Your love alone is not enough. You're listening to That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
And tonight's comedian in the house is
Sulaiman Azmil.
See, he did
love
it again.
Love
it. Again.
It.
Sulaiman Azmil. Like it. Right, so before we get to news from page 2, having a nice discussion during the break. We're not going to talk about that because it was funny, but we're not allowed to share. So tell us what you're up to shortly. You're working with Harith Iskander as well, right? What's going on there?
Yeah, there's a project that's called Comediri. Bersama Harith Iskander. Comediri is short for Comedy Berdiri.
Stand-up comedy.
Stand-up comedy, literally translated into Malay.
Right.
And that's an interesting project because it's going to showcase stand-up comedy in Bahasa Malaysia. And the participants are multiracial. Another fantastic thing there. I'm not sure when it's going to be TX or broadcast, but soon.
Soon.
Yeah.
So how... sorry, go on, David.
Sorry to be a bit ignorant here, but looking at what type of comedy there is out there in Malay language, you know, Raja Lawa, Scenario and everything like that, is there any room for stand-up comedy in Malay, do you think?
I think there is. I think for one thing, we shouldn't be underestimating the audience. I think that's one thing that, you know, people sort of have this perception that, you know, the audience wouldn't be able to get it. That's in my experience, at least, because there have been a couple of shows that, you know, go on regularly, in particular Comedy Bahasa. That's a monthly show that happens at Crack House Comedy Club. And we also have Cerita Malam Jumaat, which is which happens at PJ Live Arts. And it's stand-up comedy. It's not slapstick comedy. And what we found is that the audience is very encouraging, you know, to the efforts of the performers on stage. And what's also been interesting is that you know, there's been that crossover of comedians who came from the English stand-up comedy scene, as it were, into the BM stand-up comedy scene, and vice versa. Mm. And I think that's also very interesting because you see the pollination of sorts in terms of styles, and you know, we get ideas. Well, I mean, I wouldn't even say we, because I'm doing both. I do both BM and English. But it's interesting to see that crossover.
But in terms of audience, for like, you know, for Malay comedy, stand-up comedy, do you have more Malays with that will come for your show?
I've never really looked at it necessarily that way. Comedy Bahasa seems to have a more sort of multiracial composition among its audience members. Mm. But that's not to say that CMJ attracts, Cerita Malam Jumaat attracts only the Malay community. I think what's great now is you have audience, a Malaysian audience rather than necessarily any racial.
Right. Do you find yourself having to tailor your material dependent on your audience? I mean, I know a stand-up will tailor their material for an audience, but if you have like a mainly Malay audience, do you find yourself having to tailor the stuff that you talk about?
That's a very interesting point. I think in a way it depends on where, at which stage during the show you're coming on.
Right.
Right? Because if you're number one, if you're the opening comic, that's always a bit difficult because you may not have been able to gauge the sort of audience that you have. You may see them, but just because you see them physically, it may still not give you an idea. But if you're coming on later in the show, by that time you'd have some idea about the sort of things that the audience would respond to. Mm. At that time, you might want to tweak the material that you have.
Right.
But sometimes too much tweaking as well might not necessarily be a great thing if you've prepared.
You're already prepared for what you're going to deliver. Yeah. Right. Mm. Interesting though.
But it should be flexible. I think that's one thing about stand-up. Mm-hmm. That flexibility must always be there.
Right.
It does. In essence to the type of humor that you do, like you're talking to us just now, and I realized that it wasn't really, it has similarities to English language comics, but at the same time it has a very nice Malay culture to it, you know, that kind of balas pantun kind of feel that you used to get, you know. It's a bit it's witty, it's a bit sneaky, it's and it's smart at the same time, and it's something that I feel like has been missing quite a lot recently in generic humor that you see on TV, actually, which is really nice to see, actually.
That's a very good point, because in as much as certain things can translate equally well in other languages, with some kind of humor, you need to take into account the nuances of not just the Bahasa Malaysia as a language, but the cultural elements.
Right. Yeah, the double, the triple meanings you get out of it, you know. So it's really nice to see. I mean, I remember hearing from my father-in-law, you know, about the DK Barats that you get that are really witty, you know, and really smart, but, you know, you have to really listen to it to, you know, get the essence of it. And it's, you know, once you understand it, once you understand the context of the culture, then you understand the joke and it should be really funny as well.
I agree totally. But of course, with DK Barat, you also have to be able to understand the Kelantanese dialect.
Yeah, that's a whole new topic by itself. Yes.
Okay, fellas, we are about to hit news from page two. Ooh.
Extra, extra, beat all the fire. What's all the shouting?
David, you're up first. What do you have today?
I am talking about my favorite ever director called Hayao Miyazaki.
Okay.
So, have you guys ever heard of the anime series or the anime movie My Neighbor Totoro?
Yes.
Or Spirited Away?
Yes.
Yes. Spirited Away.
Yeah.
Spirited
so
Away.
This guy, Miyazaki, he made all these animations. And 2 years ago, he said he would go into retirement after his last film, The Wind Rises. And this made a lot of people sad. It made me really sad because Miyazaki is just, you know, oh man, I just really want to meet this guy, right? But he is coming back.
Oh. Hmm.
Yes, he decided to leave retirement because he got bored and do something new. Now, Miyazaki never did anything in 3D animation. He did everything hand-drawn, you know? So this time around, he's going to do a 10-minute short in full 3D animation, but it will only be screened in the Ghibli Museum. And the Ghibli Museum is only in Japan.
Oh.
Does this mean that David will be going on another trip to Japan?
I went to the Ghibli Museum the first time I went to Japan. It is the happiest place on earth. I mean, if you were a little kid and you were at the Ghibli Museum, if you know My Neighbor Totoro, there's a cat bus. They actually have a cat bus that you can go into if you're a kid. And it just looks so fun.
Let's just remind ourselves how old you are right now. Not that I'm judging, you know.
28.
Yeah. Happiest place on earth. Happier than Disneyland?
What is wrong with you, Richard? We all have a happy land.
I'm not denying that.
In the Ghibli Museum, there's a staircase that starts off normal size so you can go in. But then the higher you go in, it's a spiraling staircase. The higher you go up, the smaller it gets. And then by the end of it, you're crouching trying to get out. It's really cool.
Okay, lovely story. So when is this going to be released? Do we know?
It's going to take him 3 years to complete.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, like,
how old is he?
I think he's about 70 plus now. That's why he was a bit worried when 3D animation came out. He said that there was a lot of potential, but he was too old to learn something new. But this seemed, you know, he's like, whatever, I'm just going to do it anyways.
Okay, just a quick reminder, we do have a competition running, 016-201-9000. If you want to win yourself some free pizza. David, do you want to do the...
If you want to get in touch with us, you can at BFM Radio or BFM TTON.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the Domino's pizza, but you didn't. Okay, Adeline, what do you have?
Yes, so today I'm going to be talking about poop.
What?
And golf holes.
How do we go from, like, you know, animation to poop?
So someone has been pooping in golf holes of Norway's Stavanger Golf Club for 10 years. I repeat, 10 years.
Okay, there's some. Okay.
So Sulaiman, how can you not make a joke out of this?
I'm listening intently.
So, the culprit, he leaves behind toilet paper and has disabled spotlights installed to catch him at his nocturnal game. So, apparently, they say that he said. Know it is a man because the poos are too massive to be from a woman. And I'm like, what? Now, the thing is, the club has been denied a permit to install CCTV, so the crab-filled cups may continue to be par for the course.
And Andy said
that the club managing director said, our idea is that it could be someone who, for unknown reasons, hates the game of golf.
When you said word, was it a case of you objecting to the idea that a poop of a particular size could not come from a woman?
No, I mean, well, it can. I don't know.
Now you're wondering about the size of someone else's poop.
Yeah, actually,
aren't you?
Why are we doing that?
I'm wondering about the size of yours, Adam.
Oh, really? Really? That's what we do?
Because you all went, what?
Right.
But again, why would you want to poop in golf holes?
Actually, my biggest concern is that if you have poop all around your golf club, but your golf club doesn't want to install CCTVs.
They're denied.
What
is wrong with them?
I think it's a story that's full of stuff. Okay, we have to move on. We've got The Changing Man up next from Paul Weller. Coming back, we have some more stories from myself and Sulaiman. We'll see you in a minute. It is BFM 89.9. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
And in the studio we have...
Sulaiman Azmil.
There we go. He's done it again. Okay, so as usual, we ask our guests to bring along a story. And I know you've been kind of picking through a few, Sulaiman.
Mm-hmm.
Have you decided on one yet?
Yep.
Okay, what have we got?
I have something from Scotland.
Ah, the Scots. Scots.
Yes, piece of news from Inverness, Scotland.
Okay.
Apparently, a popular Scottish pub known for its traditional atmosphere... announced that its male bar staff are switching from kilts to pants.
Okay.
After repeated harassment from female patrons.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh dear.
The name of the place is Hootenanny, I think.
Hootenannies.
Yeah. Mm. I hope I've got that right. So apparently the male workers there used to wear kilts as part of the pub's traditional theme, which also includes frequent live performances of traditional Scottish music. But they are now donning pants, and the reason for that is to protect them from women who would lift their kilts to check whether they were true Scotsmen.
Oh dear.
What exactly is a true Scotsman?
Well, I mean, Sulaiman could probably enlighten you a little bit more.
Yes, how do
story.
You check if someone's a true Scotsman?
Well, apparently if you're a true Scotsman, you would have nothing underneath your kilt.
Oh. Oh.
Correct.
So I'm part Scottish.
You're part Scottish.
Yeah, when I wear my sarong.
Sarong.
Almost the same.
But apparently a true Scotsman, when a woman tries to grope him, will not say, "Get off me, nuts!"
Well, let me add this, this thing. The assistant manager said this. The first few times, it is funny. But when it is really busy, and everyone has to work fast and hard, and your hands are full of glasses, you feel quite vulnerable.
I would imagine you do.
I know. Actually, it sounds like it's not about the vulnerability of being touched. It's the fact that it wastes or deters people from doing their job. It's just unproductive.
So a man's on his way to deliver dirty glasses back to the sink, and he can't because some woman has...
Yeah, it's like, can you stop it? I'm, like, really busy.
Maybe the bartenders... I mean, probably the waiters are pretty cute, though.
I would imagine so.
They were hired... Maybe they should hire older ones.
Again, I don't think it's actually about them caring if the... I mean, they probably like being touched. It's just like, get out of my way. I'm busy. Can you stop it? Can you do it later?
Do it later.
Okay, just a reminder, 016-201-9000 for the competition for free pizza. Here's what you have to answer.
There is a pizza app... there is a pizza expo held once a year in the US. Now, where is it held? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win as well.
Okay, I've kind of got a related story.
It's about Scottish.
It's not about the Scottish, but it's about things underneath the kilt, shall we say. No, it's not. It's about this story coming out of China right now. And as we know, some of the Chinese products are not... how do I say this in a nice way?
Fake?
Yes, correct. Some of them are fake, or some of them have things added to them that perhaps they shouldn't have added to them. So there's this particular factory in the south of China that develops baijiu. If you don't know what baijiu is, it's Chinese rice wine, and it's like fire water. And this new company were saying that their new ingredient has health benefits and will make men feel much better when they drink it. Which in turn turns out to be true, but it turns out that this secret ingredient that they were adding and not telling the people buying the baijiu was Viagra.
What?
Yeah. So you've got all of these men over South China buying this baijiu, drinking it, and wondering all of a sudden what's happening.
I think that's pretty dangerous.
Of course, it's pretty dangerous.
Talk about a stiff drink.
Oh. He did it. He went there, David. Oh.
I had to.
You did.
Yeah, but I would have thought that they'll use, one of their herbs, TCM, traditional Chinese medicine.
Right.
Yeah, probably, if it's honey goat wheat, for example.
Exactly, right.
I mean, not that I know this stuff, but,
we're not judging you. Don't worry.
Wait, what's that thing that we have in Sarawak?
Oh, they're discussing?
No. There's a certain type of thing that you take for the same exact reason of Viagra.
The Tonka Ali?
No, it's hot. It's like a rubbing...
It's hot!
Oh, right. I think we've talked enough about that, you know? So maybe we should start asking the man over here some questions. Are we ready? Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
Smarty pants.
3 minutes to answer as many questions as you possibly can. If you don't know the answer, please say skip. Don't dawdle on questions if you don't know the answer.
Skip. Okay.
All right. Are we ready? Here we go. 3 minutes. Start now. The Majapahit Empire was a vast archipelagic empire based on which island?
Java.
What year was the infamous eruption of Krakatoa?
1835.
Ooh, close. In what year did the Hindenburg disaster happen?
1922.
Oh, a little bit later. When was Nelson Mandela elected as President of South Africa?
Skip.
During the Federation of the Malaya era, how many red and white stripes were there on the national flag?
13.
Brian Tan and Kiran Baladevan are part of which comedic nation aside from Malaysia?
Which comedic nation aside from Malaysia? No idea.
Okay, fair enough. The Pebble smartwatch was a project funded via which crowdfunding platform?
Skip.
Dunko Abdul Rahman studied at the Penang Free School. True or false?
True.
Who directed the 2010 film The Social Network?
Skip.
Who played Ryan Stone in the 2013 film Gravity?
Sandra Bullock.
What is the name of the A&W Bear mascot?
Skip.
Which French electronica duo is known for wearing robotic headgear?
Skip. Oh, I know that.
Oh, in the famous children's story, which creatures did the Pied Piper of Hamelin rid the town of?
Rats.
In motoring, which creature is featured on the logo of the Porsche?
Stallion?
Yes. The Mont Blanc Tunnel joins which two countries?
France and Italy.
Which UK television presenter drank his own urine during a survival show?
Skip.
What was the first planet in our solar system to be discovered by a telescope?
Pluto?
Ooh, Pluto, a planet? Mm. Which team won yesterday's FA Community Shield Cup game?
Arsenal.
According to the proverb, what favours the bold?
Skip.
In 1937, which aviatrix disappeared on a flight from New Guinea to Howland Island?
I know this, but skip.
Who directed the 1987 film Full Metal Jacket?
Skip.
Divine Wind is the English translation for which Japanese word?
Kamikaze.
Tehran is the capital of which country?
Iran.
Which element makes iron rust?
Air. Oxygen.
Stranger's Gate is an entrance to which famous park up in northeastern US?
Skip.
In 1988, which team was Ayrton Senna with when he won his first first Formula One Drivers World
Ferrari.
Championship? 60s British actress Audrey Kathleen Rustin was better known by what name?
Audrey Hepburn.
Which part of the body do butterflies taste with?
Skip.
That's your final question. Taking a break. We've got some music coming up. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
Do it again. Go on.
Sulaiman Azmil.
There we go. So just before the messages, the songs and everything, we were testing his mettle on Smarty Pants. Sulaiman, how well do you think you did?
I don't know. Did I even get into double figures? I'm not even sure about
double it. Double figures, definitely.
Do you have a benchmark for yourself or, you know, anything? You need any particular score you wanted to beat for any particular reason?
Well, in person?
No, I always think of beating myself.
Right, right. So it's a competition with yourself, right? Okay.
Yeah. Of course.
So let's go through some of the questions you got wrong.
Yes. Brian Tan and Kiran Baladevan are a part of what comedic nation aside from Malaysia? Answer is potato.
Potato! Sorry, Brian. Sorry, Kiran. I know you guys will be upset with that.
The Pebble Smartwatch was a project funded via what crowdfunding platform? Kickstarter. What French electronica duo is known for wearing robotic headgear? Daft Punk.
I'm upset with that.
According to the proverb, what favours the bold? The answer is fortune. Who directed the 1987 film Full Metal Jacket? Stanley Kubrick.
So let's have a drum roll.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sulaiman Azmil scored 11 points.
Come on, don't do that. No, I'm not doing that, but you know who's going to be doing that, right?
You know. I have a fair idea. I mean, we play badminton during the weekend.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh, dear. You're never going to hear the end of it.
It's going to be 11-14.
Yes.
Right, so we have 3 minutes, and before we get to the facts of the day, so Lyman, where can we see you performing next? When?
This Thursday, August 6th, I'll be on Time Out Comedy Thursday. Mm-hmm. That's happening at the Mango Tropical Cafe at Changkat Bukit Bintang.
Okay.
Next week, Thursday on the 13th, I'm on Comedy Kau Kau, hosted by Dr. Jason Leong. I should mention that the Time Out Comedy Thursday, that's going to have Joanne Kam as a headliner.
Oh, is it?
Mm. Yep. So that's going to be a great show. On the 13th, Comedy Kau Kau, I believe GB Labrador of the Philippines will be headlining that show.
That would be great.
Yeah. And all being well, I'm going to be in Singapore 18th to 21st. Hopefully I'll get a couple of spots down there.
Okay. David, fact of the day?
Following Fight Club's release, several fight clubs were reported to have been started in the United States. A gentleman's fight club was started in Menlo Park, California in 2000 and had members mostly from the tech industry with only two rules. Don't cripple your friend and don't bring him to tears.
Oh.
Don't bring him to tears.
There's a short documentary about this actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Uppercut. It's about 8 minutes long. You can Google it. It's about tech people getting into fights because, you know, they're tech. Their tech people are a bit off.
Not my mouse hand, bro. Not my mouse hand. I can't click.
I can't type.
Familiar.
Right.
Right. All right. And mine is Calvin Klein's obsession for men is spread in camera traps because it attracts wildcats and other animals.
Calvin Klein's obsession.
Yes. Even himself is surprised about it.
Okay. So wait. It's sprayed where?
Camera.
Oh, the camera traps.
Yeah, the camera traps. The animals will actually come and sniff when it smells the perfume.
You know, like in the wild?
Yeah. Ah, right. That's when you can actually
take a picture.
Yeah.
Okay, my fact, Osama bin Laden was obsessed with Whitney Houston.
What?
No way.
Yes, not by her songs, but apparently he was so obsessed that he actually wanted to marry her. He thought she would make the perfect wife.
I bet.
Yeah, right. Interesting little fact there. And of course, coming up
at 9 o'clock, we have the repeat of Starfall and Pick Up the Pops at 10 o'clock. And for Starfall, I speak to Yvonne Lim about the simple, from line 32, about simple but impeccably stylish designs which were created with meticulous attention to details and yet kept within an affordable price. And at 10 o'clock, Patrick Teo will be spinning from best hits from the 1965, 75 and 85, from Freddie Mercury to LaBelle and Queen to Marianne Faithfull. Do stay tuned.
All right. It's almost time for us to wrap up for the evening. Of course, we will be back same time, same place, from deepest, darkest Banda Atama.
Thanks for the queer raya. That was great.
That was very tasty.
My pleasure. Absolutely very tasty.
And of course, do join us tomorrow. We have Sarah Lien tomorrow.
Yes, we do.
That should be a lot of fun.
You
right?
got it correct.
You're just afraid they're going to get
without
it wrong,
any,
right?
Without any prompting.
Yeah,
it, right.
I just looked at you and I
know. She gave me the fluttering of eyelashes.
You better get this right.
Right. You better get it right.
Yeah.
Sulaiman, thank you very much for coming.
My pleasure.
Absolute pleasure.
Thanks for the invitation.
I wish you'd have got more than 14, though. I'll be entirely honest.
Me too.
Even 14 and a half, yeah. You'll be happy.
All right.
That probably makes you even more upset.
Next time, definitely.
Yeah, bring him back. Okay, it is time for a little bit of the Black Keys and Lonely Boy, and then, of course, Stylefile right after that. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.